Joining us on the Joe Show tonight, from DirecTV's show Kingdom and from House of Cards, Joanna Going. Canadian comedian Daryl Lennox. And five-time Grammy Award winner B.J. Thomas. So don't go anywhere. This is The Joe Show. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Joe Show. Joe Crawford here with you, and today's date is Wednesday, May the 11th. And you know what that means?
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Hump day!
Yes, it is hump day, Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. My goodness, we have a huge show for you tonight from DirecTV's hit show Kingdom and Netflix House of Cards, Joanna Going, Canadian comedian Daryl Lennox, and five-time Grammy Award winner B.J. Thomas. Want to remind you that any of the shows that you happen to miss, you can always get them on iTunes. Just visit joecrawfordlive.com and click on the Joe Show tab for more information. We're going to forego our word, our fact, our comedian is Daryl Lennox, and our headlines, because we have such a huge, huge show to get to. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, joining us, well, will be Joanna Going.
Hey, it's Tom Cotter. I was runner-up on America's Got Talent, and whenever I want to listen to fun radio, I listen to The Joe Show, because I know what's good.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hey, this is Wanda Sykes, and you're listening to The Joe Show. I make it.
Welcome back to The Joe Show on Ohm Times Radio. And joining us right now is actress from DirecTV's Kingdom. And also, you probably have seen her on Netflix as the First Lady, Trisha Walker, is Joanna Going. And hello, Joanna, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. And I want to talk a little bit about Kingdom first, but before we do, because I know you did a season as a First Lady, as Trisha Walker, on the Netflix Emmy Award, Emmy-nominated series, House of Cards, but I figured, because you kind of played a politician, what is your take of the politics happening right now in the States of America there?
It's pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, a few people who I stand behind, who are kind of trying to behave like grown-ups, I think a lot of it is pretty ugly right now.
It is, and hopefully it gets better before it gets a lot worse. And House of Cards doesn't really depict of what's happening right now of the U.S. politics. But do you still continue watching House of Cards even though you're not on it anymore?
Oh, I'm a huge fan. Yeah, yeah. I've already binged the whole season that just came out.
Yeah, it just came out not so long ago.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I did that in about 3 days, I think.
That's great. Now, tell me a little bit about the character that you play as Christina Kalina. I want to make sure I'm saying it right. Christina Kalina?
That is Christina Kalina.
In DirecTV's Kingdom.
Yeah, I'm, the show takes place in the world of mixed martial arts around a gym that is in Venice, California, that is run by Alvi Kalina, who's played by Frank Grillo, and I am his ex-wife, and we have two sons who are played by Jonathan Tucker and Nick Jonas, who are fighters. So it's a fight family, but of course, my character is not a fighter. She's sort of a wayward mom. Has her own battles that are more inner battles. She's a heroin addict. When we first meet her in season one, she's supporting her habit on the street, working as a prostitute. So she's got quite a lot of demons she's fighting.
Now, have you yourself, I mean, not probably to the extent of your character at all, by all means, but have you yourself personally have had any demons or battles that you've had to overcome?
Well, I think everybody has their own ups and downs. I've been around for quite a while. I haven't had personally had addictions so much as I have had people around me dealing with addiction. So I know what it's like to be close to an alcoholic and the ramifications of that throughout the family. Struggles that have to do with being in this business that can, it can lift you up so high when you're doing well and then bottoms out when you're not. Relationship struggles, ups and downs. I'm divorced. I have a child that I'm raising on my own. So, but not anything to the depths that I think Christina Colina has seen.
Speaking with Joanna Going, her character is Christina Colina in the DirecTV's Kingdom series. And so how is it working? I know we have a lot of young female listeners listening to the Joe Show, and they're like, probably like, oh my gosh, like the Jonas Brothers or whatever, right? Like, how is it working with Nick, and how is he like?
Nick is so down to earth and a really hard worker. And he comes to the set, you know, as an actor on the same level as all of us. We are all a team where we are, a company who work together. And he doesn't bring all the hoopla of Nick Jonas, the music star, to the set. So he's, very present with us and is a really, solid, committed, and passionate actor and a dream to work with.
Good to know. Good to know. Now the ladies are probably all at ease now that they heard that as well of our listeners out there.
He's a great guy. Yeah, he's a really great guy.
There you go. I never got to speak with him, but I bet the ladies are happy to know that he's a great guy to work with as well. Now, with your character, Christina Colina, Kingdom is on DirecTV. It's in season two right now. And has it been heard that season three renewed for season three yet, or what is there to expect?
Well, we have the second half, season 2B, so it's technically the second half of season two is coming out June 1st on DirecTV. So this summer there will be 10 more episodes of Kingdom. And then we will be back in October to shoot some more. The series though is also available from season one is available on Amazon and iTunes and I think a few other places, Google Play. So I urge people to catch up on it in on those platforms as well if you don't have DirecTV. But it also is on streaming on AT&T UVerse. Since the DirecTV and AT&T
merger,
you can, if you have UVerse, you can stream it there as well.
Well, make sure you binge watch it before June the 1st then. And I know you probably can't say much, but what can we maybe even expect from your character, Christina Colina, on the second part of season two, season 2B?
Well, Christina, you know, continues on a journey towards sobriety. The first go round did not quite stick when her son pretty much grabs her off the street, kind of kidnaps her and forced detox her. And, you know, and it was kind of going along well for a while, and she fell back into the habits. But now she's going to try a rehab, and we'll see where that takes her.
Perfect. Now, I know, like you said earlier, you don't, or you have never extended the experience, these addictions, these demons and that stuff. And of course, being an actress, you get to play every kind of sort of character there is, with different types of personalities and traits and characteristics. But what have you learned from being Christina Colina? Of course, not to do what your character's doing, but what have you learned, experienced through this, being your character on Kingdom, and possibly maybe someone who's going through addiction? Do you have any words of wisdom for them even?
Yeah, well, I did quite a lot of research on heroin addiction, and particularly heroin addiction and prostitution, which often go hand in hand. And you know, it's right now every other headline it's an epidemic right now, heroin in our country, which has come out of people becoming dependent on prescription painkillers and then ending up, you know, going to heroin, which is usually cheaper, I guess, but it's much more dangerous. And well, there, it's all dangerous. I'm, you know, quite aware of different fights and different kind of legislation that's going on, and trying to change the thinking of the treatment of heroin addiction. You know, the kind of 12-step willpower kind of approach, as opposed to there are now medications that can be used to try to stop opiate addiction. I mean, it seems crazy to like go use another pill use another drug to stop this drug. But, you know, if people can get medical chemical help to stave off the what drives the addictions, and then maybe they can take a breath and overcome it, and overcome the circumstances that you know are leading them to run for this escape. But it's something that really has to be dealt with on a you know, government on down level to make these things available. I learned about how Narcan is being used. It's a drug that if somebody has overdosed and they can get a hit of Narcan, their lives can be saved. And this is something that I learned about during the course of an episode that we did. It's important for anyone who is an addict or who is living with an addict, if you have a friend or family to have an addict, this is a medication that people can get. Policemen carry it. Emergency personnel carry it, but just people can get it and have it on hand just in case. And it could make, you know, just all the difference in saving someone's life. So I found a really, you know, really interesting piece of information that I don't know if it's that widely known. It wasn't me, because I don't have heroin addicts around me, but I was really glad to learn about that.
And along with, like, of course, of this being an awesome series, I mean, I only watched a little bit of the first season. I haven't been able to watch all of everything yet, and I'm looking forward to season two, and looking forward to watching the rest of it, too. And you do such a wonderful job in this that it is, like, a learning educational tool, too. Like you're saying, like, the one episode that you did that you didn't even know, and like now it's out there, knowing that you guys made it relevant to be known too, though.
It's one of the most fun things about acting, and the thing that I really relish is digging into the research of whatever you've been handed and trying to find out, you know, so much more and enriching your own life and with the knowledge that you gain in researching a character. And truly, I don't want to make it sound like our show is all about
drug addiction. Absolutely not.
You know, the mixed martial arts and the delving into this world, which is really a culture of its own, is really fascinating. And to watch what these fighters put themselves through, the incredible discipline and training. But I think overall what our show is exploring is these people who, in whatever different ways they're doing it, who have to go to extremes in their lives, you know, the extreme of climbing into a cage with someone else who wants to really hurt you, or the extreme of living in the dangerous, you know, the dangerous line of drug addiction, or living on the street. It's all of these different kinds of, you know, extremes of living large and these people who, like, you know, are living on the edge of something and who thrive on that.
Absolutely. And again, it's June the 1st, the second part of season 2. And it is a family drama on DirecTV and
Binge. Yeah, it's a drama about a family. It's not for family viewing. Very adult drama.
Let's make that clear. Yes. And again, we want to thank Joanna. We wish you all the best and continued success. And we're looking forward to June the 1st for the second part of season 2. And what's to come after that?
Oh, well, great. Thank you. I'm so glad to have spoken to you. Thank you.
No problem. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this here on The Joe Show.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hey, I'm comedian Dale X, and I'm listening to The Joe Show. Joe Crawford, the man, the myth, the legend, The Joe Show.
Welcome back to The Joe Show on OM Times Radio, and joining us right now is a very funny Canadian. He is in the middle of his 2020 tour, and that really hits a resonant personal note on his part, which we'll talk about why in just a moment, but joining us right now is comedian Daryl Lennox. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, Joe, how you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for joining us here on the show. And right now, I know you're very busy. You're in the middle of your 2020 tour. And 2020, people are thinking that could mean vision, and that's basically what it is, more so. And that hits home for you. Why?
I'm probably as far away from 2020 as anybody can get, Joe. I mean, if I was any more blind, I'd be a musical genius, man. But I've got just enough vision. But it seems like the further I get away from 2020 vision, the more insight and clarity I have on my life, man. So I want to kind of talk about it and travel across North America talking about this tour. It's pretty important to me, man.
Now, doing that, I mean, I know a lot of comedians, we've had a lot of comedians on, too, that they say this is like their therapy, that they get up on stage and they talk about what's happening in their life, and this is something that is very personal, as it's health-related, and you have, I think, your right eye, I believe it is, that has no sight, or your left eye that has no sight, and a little bit on the other eye, you can only see a little bit. And do people end up being, when you first started doing this, like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I should laugh or not. This sounds serious.
You know what, Joe? I mean, I've been doing this, shoot, man, 27 years, and I'm a big guy, man. You're never really aware of how you're perceived, but I knew that, you know, people thought I was kind of a tough guy, I said, but then I never wanted to talk about Dodge, and all of a sudden I had this incredible surgery in Vancouver. And then I realized I had to talk about it in order to become the kind of comic that I wanted to become, and it was important to me. I think it kind of softened me up a little bit. There's a vulnerability in me now that I don't know, people seem to resonate with it.
Well, and I think that's maybe a good thing, too, and there's nothing wrong with being a little soft, too.
Yeah, well, I would have said soft. I'm still tough, but I just can't.
I won't mention it again. We won't ruin the tough image that we'll keep it at that. Right. Daryl Lennox is really tough. You can check out Daryl at his website, daryllennox.com, daryllennox.com. And along with doing this 2020 tour that you're doing, and you're going to be in an end of May, end of this month, you're going to be in Nunavut and in Toronto. And then next month in June, you're going to be in Ottawa and Texas. You can go to Daryl's website and buy tickets to see him if you're in those areas there. But you also are working on a sitcom too, sir.
I am. Same name, Lennox 2020. I was fortunate enough to get on the coming show. And then after that, started to get approached from production companies about sitcom. I never really thought about it. And so I decided to write something myself, and it felt right. And then I sought out a great comic, Brent Butt, who really liked it and helped me shape it. And now we have a production deal. We shot a little bit of a presentation pilot, which looks great. And now we're just going to go to the pitch, and hopefully we'll get a network bite, you know?
Awesome.
Exciting.
That is just wonderful to hear, and hopefully that will be presented just not here in Canada, but for your American fans down there too, because I've seen some of your clips, and you're truly hilarious. You got me laughing, and I'm actually trying to plan myself out that I can, because we're from Niagara Falls here, that I can come to Toronto to see you, because I think you are truly hilarious and among one of the comedian greats that are out there. Now, I want to make a mention, because just a couple months ago, it seems like we're losing a lot of comedians and that stuff too. Have you ever came across, because I know you've done stuff in the States and here in Canada, have you ever come across Gary Shandling in your passings of comedy?
One night, I was probably about 2 years in, so it's about 25 years ago, and I was at the famous Hollywood Improv Melrose, and he came in, and it was like the Pope. I mean, all the comics just swarmed around him. He wasn't very comfortable with it, but everybody wanted to be around him, and I was like a Bible verse. Like, I just wanted to see if I could touch him, you know, to see if I could get some of that off, rub off on me. But I never had an actual conversation with him, but he was one of the greats, man. What a fantastic show Larry Sanders was. Oh, man.
Yeah. Show. Well, hopefully, just as big and good, Lennox 2020, if and when it comes out, will be just as great as that, because I mean, you, sir, are very funny, and I know you've appeared before on Conan. You're looking to appear again on Conan, and also you'll be, I don't know if it's been done yet or it's in the works or whatever, but also on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Have you ever done The Tonight Show?
No, I've had many close calls to getting it, but never had it done, but hopefully this next little while we'll agree on a set and I can go do that one. That'll be a big fish.
Oh, that's got to be like every comedian's dream to, like, I mean, especially when it was Johnny Carson days, but even still, it still has that main golden title, The Tonight Show, like getting on there. Like, that must have been your dream since you've been a comedian, right?
I mean, ever since I was a kid, I wanted to do a talk show and then, you know, have the big hour-long cable special, and then, you know, maybe a sitcom or a movie and stuff. I mean, look, all this stuff is weird. This stuff's starting to gonna happen, man.
Well, that's good. Well, good things come to good people, and you, sir, are very good, and you're very funny. Daryl Lennox, is the comedian we're speaking with. DarylLennox.com is a website you want to go to and check him out to a city near you, and he's going to be coming to a TV in your household very soon. You do not want to miss out this guy, and he is going for big things, and they are coming his way. Just for people to know, Daryl, before we let you go, when they come to your show, along with talking about your vision and what you've gone through, and in a comedic style, of course, what other topics or what other stuff can people expect when they come to your show?
Man, I learned how to tell a good story on spending all those years up in Canada. So I've got some good stories. Got to talk about my wife a little bit. You know, a little bit of Canada, U.S., socio-political stuff. I got a wide range of stuff I like to get into.
Beautiful. The Americans, when you go down there, do and you probably do a lot of American stuff too, probably not so much Canadian, you gear it to your audience, but if you do, do they even understand half of the Canadian stuff you're talking about?
Yeah, you can reference it. So, you know, if I wanted to, everybody knows what's happening, you know, it's such a social media world, but you just have to reference it the right way, but you can do it. We're not as, America's not as dumb as we try to.
Well, I don't know. They got Donald Trump forefront running there. I don't know what's going on there, but yeah.
He's not gonna win.
He's not gonna win. I really hope so. I hope so that he doesn't win. I hope that he does win. I mean, but anyways, Daryl Lennox, we want to thank you very much. We wish you all the best, and when things are working out even more so in the progress, and don't care if you're in Ontario or not. But whatever happens, come back on the Joe Show. You are more than welcome to come on anytime, sir.
I really appreciate it, Joe. Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, no problem. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this here on the Joe Show.
Hello, this is Judy Mann of the Chiffons, and you're listening to the Joe Show.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System Show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Om Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
Hi, this is BJ Thomas, and you're listening to The Joe Show.
Welcome back to the Joe Show, and joining me right now is a huge music artist. He's a 5-time Grammy Award winner. He's coming to Niagara Falls, Canada, May 21st. He will be in St. Catharines, December 5th. He is celebrating 50 years of receiving his first gold platinum record and many more that came after that as well. It's the one and only Mr. BJ Thomas. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And first of all, let me congratulate you on 50 years of being in the music business and entertaining and still going so strong.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I still, you know, I guess I still retain the burning desire I had when I was, you know, when I was just a boy. So, you know, I still have that that desire to do it, and I'm glad I'm in good enough shape to go out and do it. And it's, you know, hey, it's been a ripoff all the way, you know, a lot of fun.
Well, I could imagine. and this is amazing because usually people are thinking of retiring at this time of age, and I'm not going to give away your age. People can look it up if they want to, but yeah, you are going strong. You sound great, greater than ever. I think I'm hearing some videos on your Facebook page there, and it's so smooth. And I heard you do the Hooked on a Feeling song and Raindrops, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing still.
Well, hey, I appreciate you saying that, and I'm, you know, it takes a little effort. You know, we all have to, in my group, we try to stay in good shape, but you know, I have luckily been you know, always kind of concerned with staying in good shape, and I, you know, I work out and do all that, but it's just probably just the luck of you know, of my heritage and my family. You know, we're good, healthy people, and so I hope I can maintain that for a while. I'll be 74 this summer.
Wow, God and, bless you.
You know, that's just a number, but, you know, you do feel it a little bit. But, hey, that's what it is.
Well, you look good. You sound good. I mean, even, too, I am so mesmerized, and I think many are also memorized, too, by the piercing blue eyes. They're like that from when you were young, and it's just very attracting. And you get me deep and hypnotized and hypnotic in your eyes, Mr. BJ.
Well, thank you. I guess that's good.
It is very good. And you made a mention started because you've had the love of passion since you were a young boy of singing, and you actually started singing in church.
Yeah, you know, we at one time, and I'd always been interested in music, and my dad was a big Grand Ole Opry fan, so we were, you know, we listened to that every Saturday night, even when we were just, you know, toddlers. And, you know, so I was just always attracted to that. And we happened to move at a time. I guess I was about 10 or 11. We moved across the street from a church. And my brother Jerry and I, we started going to the church. And the thing that really attracted me then was the music. And so, you know, I sang with a little quartet. And I was the youth song leader when I was 12 and 13, so that's kind of where it came from.
That's awesome. And then, of course, then after that, you decided to do, you got into a group called the Triumphs that you came later on in your teen years.
Yeah, we were all in high school, we were all around 16 years old, and they were friends of my brother, my brothers, and my brother took me to one of their rehearsals or whatever. And I got up and sang with the band. They didn't have a singer, so I got up and did a Buddy Holly song, Johnny Be Good, and things like that. And so they kind of started from there, like five of us. And you know, I still see those guys every now and then through in the year, and we do a show, we do a benefit or two during the year. So that's how it started, and it was just a lot of fun, kind of just playing for you know, the kids out in the boondocks and playing the big weekend dances. And that was, I think that's good preparation for any singer or any musician, is to be part of a band as soon as they can. It kind of gives you the your routine and gives you a way to learn your method of operation, you know.
Did you have any former training, or were the family musical, like your brother was musical? Like, did you have any kind of training when you were young then?
No, I didn't have any formal training. I kind of had to learn as I went, and I was in the choir in high school, which I failed, by the way, because I never could make any of the choir choir programs because I was always working with my band. But I did learn, had instruction in how to breathe from my choir director, Joe Scarcella, and so I always you know, try to support my diaphragm with my breath and, you know, yada, yada. But that's the only real technical things I've ever had.
With the success that you've had and over the 60 years of performing and the hit records and, of course, breaking out in the 60s and the 70s, and I know your brother probably helping you out along the way, and I know your brother started with you with having the band and that stuff too. Did he have any jealousy towards you, or was he very supportive along the way? He's like, oh, that should have been me at any point in time.
Oh, no, he was very supportive. He always had my back. He traveled with me for 25 years. He was always right there for me. You know, if there was any kind of problem, he was right there. And then he was my tour manager for a number of years before he kind of left the road. You know, the road gets, kind of wears certain people out at one point. And, so he went out to California. He's out in California now, but he was always right there for me.
Nice. And we're speaking with BJ Thomas, five-time Grammy Award winner, making his appearance here in Niagara Falls, the Fallsview Casino Resort at the Avalon Ballroom on May 21st, and then back here in Ontario in St. Catharines at the Meridian Center on December the 5th. And you can see BJ Thomas there perform some of his great hits, and we'll talk about that momentarily. But you made a mention about your dad and you and the family growing up and loving the Grand Ole Opry. And at age 30, you got invited to be a member of the Grand Ole Opry. And what was that like to you, being invited? And who invited you to be a member?
Well, the Opry, officials invited me, and probably Pete Drake, the guy I was working with musically then, my producer then, you know, the legendary steel guitar player from Nashville, he probably got that rolling. And, you mentioned my dad. He was my hero, and he still is. But it wasn't like really something I was building to or wanting to do with all my heart. But when I got a chance to join the Opry, it just so connected the circle between with my music and my father. So it was so great to, to become a member. And of course, I'm still a member, and I try to show up once or twice a year. I stay so busy, I can't do, the number of things I'd love to do. But and I was had the Gatlin brothers did some music before I was inducted and introduced me to the audience, and so it was a good night. 1982.
Wow. And well, talking about induction, I forgot to make a mention too, and I want to congratulate you. And you were totally surprised, I'm jumping way ahead here, as of just recently, that you were just inducted in your birth town, I should say, in the Music Hall of Fame in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Just it was last Thursday or Friday. I did a show up at the Riverwind Casino, the number one casino in Oklahoma. A great, great place to work. And they kind of came out toward the end of my show and surprised me and inducted me into the Oklahoma Hall of Fame, which, has so many wonderful artists, Vince Gill among them from Oklahoma. So I was very proud of that, and I was totally surprised, and it was really cool.
That's awesome. So congratulations on that too, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, back to the old Opry here for a moment. I know you made, and it's 50 years as of this year, that you covered Hank Williams' I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, and it sold over 1 million copies and awarded your first gold disc ever.
Well, Hank Williams was a huge part of my my youth. I loved him, and he was the guy that always seemed to stand out on the Grand Ole Opry. And I guess I was about 10, 9 or 10 when Hank passed away in late in 1952, and it was a big heartbreak for me. And so when I got in the band when I was 15, soon after that, I went to, a few years after I got in the band, I went to see the Hank Williams Life Story, which was a movie way back in the day. And I was really caught up with I'm So Lonesome, and I started doing that at our dances with the band, the Triumphs, they were called. And I started doing that at our dances, and it developed into this very different kind of version over a period of months. And I did it. We got the chance to make our first album, and I recorded it and just, had no idea it was a hit record. I mainly just did it for my dad because I loved Hank Williams, but somehow it found its way on the radio. Joe Ford, Bob White, the guys in Houston started playing it. And, it went number one in 3 weeks and eventually was picked up by Scepter Records out of New York City. And that's how I got going.
Wow, that's just wonderful. And then a couple of years later, one of my favorite songs of your collection is Hooked on a Feeling.
Yeah.
And another one that sold millions and got the gold record. And I love Reggie Young's electric sitar in it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Whose idea was that to put that in there in that extra bit?
Well, of course, Reggie was in the American Studio Group, and our producer was Chips Moman, just a legendary producer of Son of a Preacher Man and just all kinds of songs. And all the Elvis comeback things. And Chips was a great producer, and he just came up with that. We had used the sitar in the record right before Hooked on a Feeling, a song called The Eyes of a New York Woman. and it was kind of used sparingly. And we just thought, hey, let's, you know, Chip thought, hey, let's just go for it. And so Reggie, you know, I think played one of the classic guitar leads and fade outs and instrumentals of all time. He was probably the best, you know, among the top guitar players of all time. So we cut that thing, and you know, there was some resistance to it in the radio. It sounded different to them, and they, oh, I don't know, they kind of, you know, they resisted it a little bit. But it broke out in Houston. It broke out really big on radio in Houston and went nationwide. And really, one of my favorite songs.
It is
that I've recorded.
And I have to say that I've heard various versions done and covers like Chumbawamba and whatever have you.
Yeah.
Thinking of Chumbawamba, but yours is still the best, the original BJ Thomas number one, definitely.
Well, you know, I don't have any real problems with the Ooga Chooga thing, but I thought it was kind of a cheap shot, although it was a very commercial song, and even that my original went to number five, and of course the Ooga Chooga thing went to number one, and was a great song, a great production. You know, I was Mark James, my very best friend, wrote Hook, so I was happy for him and made him a lot of money. But I wish they'd have waited a few years, you know.
Yeah, well, and you know what too? I think and with it going to number one and yours with number five, it kind of. And it didn't matter if it was the Ugas or not, but it kind of regenerated it to a whole different era of kids. Because that's when I first
heard it.
Yeah,
it was kind of a dance. Right, it was kind of a dance version. And it's been very successful, too. You know, it's been very successful. You know, with some of my records, you know, with Scepter went out of business in the subsequent years, in the early 70s, the masters to the music, they get out to other entities, and people own your masters, and they, you know, they're in charge of when they're played. So I think my original Hooked on a Feeling has been restricted very much from being in a lot of pictures, you know, Wrong Song, and a lot of my music, because it's owned by, you know, a private situation by a guy in Nashville. And so it's been restricted. Or I think Hooked on a Feeling would have showed up even more, because Raindrops, that's been that one shows up quite often in Spider-Man 2 and certain things. So I'm, you know, I'm proud of that.
Yeah, well, that shows up too. And also, I'm trying to think of Rock and Roll Lullaby was a big hit in Brazil for a soap opera.
It was a theme song to a novella, and which ran for 22 years in Brazil. She was just, and yeah, I love those records. I cut Rock and Roll Lullaby in New York in the Village. You know, I thought it was a great production by Steve Tyrell and Al Gargoni. Of course, Steve Tyrell is a singer now himself.
Yeah,
but he was always kind of he was A&R director for Scepter Records, and he always was behind the scenes. But now, he's my lifelong buddy, my brother, and you know, I love those records. I always feel good about Rock and Roll Lullaby, because you know, some of your music is always going to become a little dated.
Yeah.
Just because the equipment was a little more primitive back in those days and what have you. But Rock and Roll still stands up. When you hear it, it's still, it's, you know, it's okay.
Raindrops are falling on my head. Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head first was shown on Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. It got the Academy Award for Original Song and hit number one of the Billboard's Top 100 in 1970. That was your third gold record that you had. And it seems so easy and simple, not to minuscule it or anything else like that, but it's a nice little jaunty tune, as opposed to the other ones like Hooked on a Feeling and Somebody Done Somebody Wrong Song.
Yeah, you know, there's such a truism in Raindrops, and not to make too big a deal out of it, but it's such an American song to me, because, you know, hey, the rain may fall on us, but we're free, so we don't have that big a problem. So it's one of those songs that makes a statement that is so such a truism and connects with people's spirits. But the way it was done, of course, the music was composed by Mr. Burt Bacharach.
Yeah.
And the lyrics were written by Hal David. I didn't write it, but, and, you know, Hal David just had a way, you know, most of those things that Hal and Burt did, you know, are classics, every one of them. So he just had a way of making a very simple statement that that would just ring your bell, you know, really get to you on the inside. And, you know, we had many conversations about that song. He said, they asked me to write a frivolous song, but he said, you know, I don't write frivolous songs. But so he kept it simple and it almost sneaks up on you with the you know, the depth and the validity that it has. So I had laryngitis when I cut the song for Butch Cassidy, for the bicycle scene. And it almost seemed like I should have had laryngitis because it came off, with that kind of groove, like, you know, it wasn't a big singer singing it. It was kind of like maybe Paul was singing it. So it really worked well. They won an Academy Award for that. And of course, Burt won for the score of the entire film also. And just, you know, I was very fortunate to get Raindrops, Joe. And over the years, I've so appreciated. And now I just feel honored to be able to sing that song in all my shows. And people still, they relate to it. They still love it. I mean, kids, older people, everybody across the board love that song.
Yeah, it speaks to everyone. It's an all ages song, and it's a wonderful song. And I'm glad you were able to do that. And I never knew you sang and covered this song from one of my favorite artists, Elvis Presley. I Just Can't Help Believin'.
I just can't help believing when she smiles.
Oh yeah, I was around Elvis for quite a bit when I was in Memphis, and of course when he was recording his comeback music, I could sat in for a couple of those sessions, and he was a great, wonderful guy. Treated everybody beautifully, and then during the period of time I knew him, he was just a beautiful specimen of a man and a great singer. He just was at his zenith with his music. With the Suspicious Minds was written by the same guy that wrote Hooked on a Feeling. But in the actual truth, I had the first hit on Just Can't Help Believing, and Elvis loved we had a good connection, and we both loved each other, and He also covered one of my songs, It's Only Love, which was the number one in England. And but he did Just Can't Help Believing in his live show out at the Hilton. And, you know, it's such a great song. And he was an extraordinary arranger. Even if he didn't write something, he could work it out where it sounded almost better than you. And his version of it was a great version. And I always loved the fact that he did one of my songs.
That's wonderful. And what was he like in the recording studio? I mean, you sat into some of the sessions that he had, and I know you said he was fun and great talent in that, but how was he like in everything else?
You know, he was just a great guy. I mean, really, I know you expect me to say that, but he was a great guy. Everybody, and you know, this was back in the day when, you know, musicians were not competitive. We all loved each other. We all sounded different. So now there's kind of a sameness to it, and maybe it's a little more competitive than I've ever seen it. But back then, we all looked up to him. He was the number one guy. I mean, everybody, of course, I was huge R&B fan. I loved Bobby Bland, Jackie Wilson, of course, Ray Charles and these guys. But he was always on the top. And, you know, he was just a regular, seemed like a regular. Well, I'd say I could take back the word regular. I don't think that fits Elvis, but he was always a special kind of brighter light when he was around. And you could almost feel his presence. And, you know, I just don't know if there'll ever be another guy like that, because he had everything. So. And he was a great guy. He tried to, you know, he sang. Chips would ask him, Chips was probably the first guy who would say to Elvis, he'd say, you know, man, that sounds great, but I think he can do better. Let's do it again. And, you know, and I don't think anybody at that time was pushing Elvis to reach deeply. And Chips did. And he came up with some of the greatest vocals of his career, and an extraordinary guy. And we were all just totally devastated when he died. We had no idea that Elvis I had no idea that Elvis had any problems. I mean, there was a little weight gain there, and we all were aware that there was some usage of prescription drugs, but no one in any way expected Elvis to die when he did, and so we were all devastated. But, you know, he left a record of music and a presence that will never be equaled, I don't think.
No, and also, BJ, I know you had back in the 70s a scare yourself with battling drugs and alcohol, and you switched around, and you've been 40 years this year sober. So, first of all, that's a huge defeat right there, so congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, you know, it comes a time when, you know, I was abusing a lot of different things, and it just comes a time when, you know, I realized that, hey, I've got my family here. I've got my children. I got to where I wasn't singing like I wanted to. I didn't feel right. And so it just came a time to take a stand on that situation. And I'm glad that I was able to get through it. It took, you know, many relapses and a lot of tears, but, you know, that I'm glad I got through it. And I have a wonderful wife, Gloria. We've been married for 48 years now, coming up on 48 years.
Congratulations.
And, it mainly was her. She was the one that that was there and helped me keep walking.
Well, she switched to being Christian, and a month later you did, and I think that's the same year when you started doing your first of many Christian gospel albums, and one in 76 called Home Where I Belong became platinum.
Yes.
And that's just like unheard of, like a pop artist having a Christian CD come out and it becomes platinum.
Yeah, well, it was the first platinum record in gospel history, and we actually had the first four platinum albums, and so it was a great thing. You know, Christianity, when the right philosophy is being practiced, is a great thing. But on the whole, I had some problems within that community too. Excuse me, I've been drinking coffee this morning. You know,
that's okay. No worries.
But I never was a religious guy. You know, I kind of feel like, you know, we're all, you know, God loves all of us, no matter if, you know, some people are not doing right in our eyes. We're all the same. We're all the same person and the same human being. So I've never, you know, I think too much religious fervor has not been good in any situation or any part of the planet. So I had nothing negative to say about any religion, but I just think we're all you know, picking at straws here. You know, we all appreciate the love and the higher power of who we feel like, you know, is up there in the sky. And so the best thing we can do is just treat other people like we want to be treated and try to love other people. And you got to start with yourself. So
No truer best words have been ever said. And BJ, did you ever think that when you were starting out in music as a young boy, 10, 11 years old, singing in the choir in the church and then having the triumphs, how big of a music career and gold records and platinum albums that BJ Thomas would ever have?
No way, Joe. I never thought. I remember back when I was in the band to begin with, my mom and I were in a kitchen, and I said, you know, hey, Mom, what if I had a hit record? And gosh, we both got so embarrassed by the very idea that I would ever have a hit record, you know, that we immediately stopped talking about it because, you know, hey, that wasn't going to happen. But yeah, to look up now and the longevity of my career, that's probably the thing I'm proudest of. And you know, when you're in music, especially what I've tried to be, and I'm certainly not a saint or an example for anyone, but you know, when you get up to do your music, you have a chance to be your best person. You have a chance to do something positive that uplifts people and gives them a few minutes away from whatever reality they might be dealing with. So to get up there and to be a part of something that might be uplifting and a blessing for somebody. That's a, you know, that's a great opportunity. And that's, I think that's when I'm my best person, is when I'm on stage. But no, I never had an idea that it would turn out like this, but I certainly am thankful that it did.
Well, we are definitely thankful for the many decades of great music and entertainment that you've provided all of us all around the world, not only just in the United States and in Canada. You travel all over the world with about 70 to 80 dates a year and continue to go strong. And we are looking forward to seeing you here in Niagara Falls on May 21st at the Avalon Ballroom, and also in December, on December 5th, in the St. Catharines Meridian Center. So thank you very much, sir.
Well, buddy, thank you. You know, everything that I may have done for someone, they've done back for me a thousandfold. So I love to go and perform and see the fans. And we're very excited about coming up to Niagara, coming up to Canada and that part of the world. And it certainly was fun talking to you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Oh, and I appreciate you. You ever been to Niagara Falls?
Yes, I've been there. Well, when I first got married, we went up. And it was interesting. It was the in the wintertime, and the falls were frozen, so it always stuck in our minds, of course. So we're excited about, I don't know if we've been there since, but we're looking forward and excited about going back.
Beautiful time of year right now. Everything's in bloom here, and to see the falls falling with everything in bloom, perfect time here. I don't know what you're thinking about coming to St. Catharines in December with the snow and the winter we get, but that's okay. That's your own choice.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay. You know, I've always been received so well in Canada. I had my first number one records up there. The second record I had called Mama was a number one national record, and old-fashioned love, and a lot of songs I had up there. And I even had one with some French lyrics that was number one in Quebec. And I always love to go up to Canada. They have the most wonderful audiences, and we're excited, buddy.
Oh, we're excited, too. Well, thank you very much.
I want to thank you all for listening to The Joe Show, and I'll